Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Michael Greenberger, the former director of the Division of Trading and Markets at the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, and discuss the real cause of the high costs of gas and food in America, and that is the speculation on Wall Street that has distorted the commodities market while unnecessarily impoverishing most Americans in order to enrich a few. Then we will discuss the reassignment of the head of the ATF over a sting operation that lost track of 2,500 high-powered firearms. Dennis Hennigan, the author of Lethal Logic, Exploding the Myths That Paralyze America's Gun Policy, joins us to examine the truth behind the posturing of lawmakers who have systematically weakened gun control laws and the ATF's ability to enforce what laws still exist while proclaiming outrage over the botched Fast and Furious operation. Then finally, we'll talk with Raed Jarrah, an Iraqi-American political analyst and blogger who was recently in Iraq. We will look into the continuing political paralysis and instability of the government in the Green Zone as the U.S. pulls out of a country it devastated, and also examine the likely spillover of the revolution going on next door in Syria. Joining us now is Michael Greenberger, the former director of the Division of Trading and Markets at the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. Currently, he is the director of the Center for Health and Homeland Security at the University of Maryland, where he also teaches constitutional law and a seminar on futures, options, and derivatives at the University of Maryland School of Law. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Greenberger.
Very nice to be here.
And Michael, you're the lead story here today. And I just only wish that this was the lead story in our press, because it seems to me there is nothing more important than the public understanding why the cost of the very basic things that we have, food and gasoline, have gone up so high, so often, and so recently, and what is behind it. You would think that that would be a compelling subject.
Well, it is a compelling subject, and if properly understood by the American public, I think the government would act in a way to stifle really big Wall Street firms, big hedge funds, wealthy investors from essentially playing casino with the futures markets, which are designed for commercial users of these products to hedge their products. Instead, what we have is a casino operation that is driving the price of major food staples, major energy products up, really at the behest of speculators, and unmooring these prices from supply-demand fundamentals.
So in other words, if the public really knew what was going on and how much that directly affects their pocketbook, they'd be outraged and want something to be done about it and force the government to act on their behalf.
I think that's absolutely true. And on September 22nd, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, which has the principal mission under the Dodd-Frank statute that was passed in July of 2010 to pass regulations that were intended by Congress to stifle excessive speculation and the driving up of prices with no rationale to production or development or real economic concerns, they are going to hold a meeting in which they will adopt final regulations which were intended to implement this congressional concern over this issue. In January of 2011, they proposed the rules to be put in effect, and most progressive observers of the proposed rules and their impact have essentially told the Commodity Futures Trading Commission that this is regulation in name only. It doesn't discipline wealthy speculators and wealthy speculative institutions. It doesn't fulfill the intention of Congress. Rather, it only keeps the status quo ante, which is massive infusion in these markets of speculative money, which have driven the price of food and energy products, especially crude oil, through the roof.
Now, isn't there a problem, Michael Greenberger, again, the former director of the Division of Trading and Markets at the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, isn't there a problem with the commission itself? There, I think it's, what, five commissioners? And my understanding is that the most recent commissioner, who's a Democrat appointed by the Bush administration, is voting with the Republicans?
Well, here's the problem right now. As is true of all independent federal agencies, the statutory template going back decades is that the president's party gets three of the five seats, and the party that is not of the president's gets two of the seats. So we have three Democrats and two Republicans. The two Republicans, to varying degrees, have been very hostile to the adoption of the financial regulations that have been imposed by Dodd-Frank that are intended to prevent the kind of reckless gambling, the reckless speculation, the undercapitalized speculation, the non-transparent speculation that led us into the meltdown of 2008. So two of the Republicans come with great deal of skepticism. The chairman, who is appointed by President Obama, Gary Gensler, who is a former partner at Goldman Sachs, and people were skeptical about his performance. He has come in as a true progressive, one of the leading regulators in the Obama administration, and he is, I would say, very much wants to limit this wild speculative activity. There's another commissioner who was in place, a Democratic commissioner, Commissioner Chilton, who supports him. And what you were getting at is there is a Democrat who was appointed by President Bush, Commissioner Dunn, who has veered back and forth, sometimes joining the two Democrats to form a majority, sometimes joining with the Republicans to defeat the Obama administration appointees. The fear is certainly the commentary that was made when the proposed rule came out, the very weak proposed rule, was that there would not be three votes in favor even for a rule that allows the status quo to take place. In other words, they want to open the floodgates to speculation. What we are hoping for is there was so much commentary on the proposed rule, 12,000 comments were filed, many by Wall Street interests who want to keep speculative activity alive and well. But there were an awful lot of progressive groups and businesses who've been adversely affected by this speculative fever, which has prevented them from being able to hedge their pricing exposure, opposing it. What we're hoping is on September 22nd, the swing commissioner, Commissioner Dunn, will side with the two Obama administration appointees, and we will get a rule that really limit speculation. If we can get that rule, economists at Princeton, Stanford, Rice, Noriel Rubini, the famous economist from the New York Stern Business School, and many, many others have said that eliminating speculation and allowing these markets to be used for its intent, which is to hedge price exposure by producers and consumers of staples, will have an immediate and drastic impact on the price of food and energy, and for the most part, those prices will go down. And what is our principal inflationary problem in the United States, and what is a matter of whether food is put on the table or not in third world countries, whether there's widespread starving or starvation going on, we can defeat all that by implementing the intent of the many members of Congress that put Dodd-Frank into place and wanted this speculation stopped.
Well, given the price that that most Americans pay and that the rest of the world in terms of the less developed countries are paying for this, as I say, it's an unnecessary impoverishment that only enriches a very few because they managed to write these rules that allow them to do things that benefit them, but they don't but they actually hurt the end users. Is it possible that you could create a regime in the commodities market where the end users are the only ones that are allowed to speculate or to hedge?
Well, not only is it possible, but one of the first bills Franklin Delano Roosevelt sent to the New Deal Congress was an answer to the plea of farmers who were upset about speculators disrupting what are hedging markets. They're not capital assessing markets, but merely designed not to bring profit, but to hedge against price increase. They saw in unregulated markets that speculators played games with these markets and drove the price in any direction they so chose. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the New Deal Congress said, look, we're just not going to allow excessive speculation in these markets. We're going to place limits on the amount of people who have no interest in the underlying product, wouldn't be able to differentiate among the various kinds of wheat that are sold in these futures markets or the various kinds of crude oil. They can only participate up to a limited extent so they don't interfere with these markets. What happened in the early 90s is Wall Street got exceptions to these limitations, and markets that were predominantly used by commercial users are today 80% used by speculators. Dodd-Frank emphatically said, this has got to stop. The American consumer is paying to put money in the pockets of Wall Street, and it has nothing to do with finding oil or producing food. And what has happened is, despite the clear mandate of the Congress and President Obama's leadership, the agency that must implement this may end up being a rogue agency that just defies what this Congress has done, defies what Franklin Delano Roosevelt saw as a wise policy and a policy that worked from 1936 to the early 90s. And they just, because the Wall Street interests are so powerful and so predominant, that they are just going to cave in, and we are going to essentially be in the kind of volatile market we're in today. For example, if you look at the price of crude, the price of crude is supposed to adhere to supply-demand fundamentals. The supply-demand fundamentals over the last 6 weeks haven't changed, but the price of crude has gone in a correlated fashion with the stock market. When speculators are buying in the stock market, they're buying these crude futures contracts. When they're dumping stocks, they're dumping crude. So that price isn't adhering to price-demand fundamentals, but it's gone from 100 down to 75. It is now approaching 90 again because the stock market is going up the last several days. And that just demonstrates this has nothing to do with supply-demand. The American consumers are essentially paying for food and oil depending on how much money rich speculators want to throw into the market. We can stop this overnight. There are a lot of strong advocates in Congress. Bernie Sanders of Vermont, one of the leading ones, Senator Maria Cantwell of Washington, Dianne Feinstein of California, who have been very strong on this issue. But everything is dependent on this commission. And if you had to bet today, we're going to be very disappointed on September 22nd, and the American consumer will be forced to put money in the pockets of Wall Streeters and to build houses in the Hamptons, build speedboats and yachts for these investors, and none of this money will go into production of, for example, crude oil.
Well, I guess that's another discussion about the nature of this, of our speculative capitalism, how it's all about extracting wealth and not creating wealth, and it's untenable and unsupportable in the long run. But just in the short term, how do you form coalitions? I mean, obviously, the first thing is, which is what we're doing now, is trying to inform the public about what really is behind the cost of gasoline and food. And it's a huge percentage. What would you say the percentage of speculation is?
Well, it's absolutely clear. The ideal market template is 70% commercial users of the underlying product, if you're talking about crude oil, people who produce and consume, businesses that produce and consume crude oil, should be 70% of those participating in these markets and 30% speculators. What these markets, and when you look across the wide array of commodities, it's 80% speculation and 20% commercial. And that's why airlines and trucking companies and farmers have joined with unions, consumers, public interest groups, environmentalists to say, you've got to stop this. You're forcing our customers to pay an unnecessary premium for this product. So there are coalitions. There's something called Americans for Financial Reform, which is a coalition of unions, consumer groups, and environmentalists, and public interest groups who have been fighting this battle. There are certain businesses like airlines, truckers, heating oil dealers, petroleum marketers who are fighting the battle. But unfortunately, we have not been able to explain to the rank and file how simple it could be to knock this point of inflation out of the economy. Sadly, and very disappointingly, while the president supported this measure as it went through Congress, he's almost said nothing, a couple of sentences, about this issue. I wish that the bully pulpit of the presidency was being used to point this thing out. But as you can well imagine, the other side are massive trading companies, massive banks, and in our unfortunate political finance environment, too many people are looking to have their campaign coffers filled by the wealthy and are not prepared to speak out on behalf of the average person. I think that's politically foolhardy. I think if the president were to come out and make a strong statement about this, he would gather in phenomenal support. His polling is sinking. He needs to rally the average American and help the average American. That's one way we could quickly fix this problem.
Well, it's worth noting, Michael Greenberger, that Eric Cantor spoke recently before the trade group that represents the speculators and promised them if the Republicans took over next year that they would have he would make sure that they made life easier for them. So
absolutely.
So there's no question about and we know from the summer of 2008 that the price went up to $147 a barrel of oil. Later, 60 Minutes did an investigation finding out that the biggest holders of oil weren't OPEC or ExxonMobil, but they were Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs. And they were driving supertankers around in circles, you know.
Yes, and there's thanks to Bloomberg and the late famous and very missed reporter Mark Pittman, who put FOIA requests in across the government. We now have figures that show even more dramatically that the biggest investors in these markets are the big banks, not ExxonMobil, not the traditional users, but banks who are using their power of trading to drive these prices up needlessly. Franklin Delano Roosevelt spotted this at the beginning of his presidency in 1933. By 1936, he got legislation in place that was designed to limit excessive speculation. It was eaten away by stealth exemptions in the 90s and in the first decade of this century. It's unfortunate that Congress identified this problem, tried to fix it, but it's now been left to the politics of agency rulemaking, and one hopes for the best, but I'm sorry, I expect the worst unless the American public wakes up to what's happening to them.
Well, the predators are out there. I just in closing, Michael Greenberger, you know, it's no small irony that the biggest salesman for gold, which is a total, it's fool's gold, you know, and people are flocking into it and driving the price up. The biggest salesmen are if you listen to watch the advertising, is on Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck's shows, and now there's a bubble that's going to burst, right? wouldn't you say?
Well, it's already started to burst. I mean, it is.
But all those people are going to be fleeced that put their money in, and they have these useless contracts that they can't get out of.
Right. And by the way, when oil was at the world record high of $147, within 6 months it went down to 33, basically because the speculators decided to go in the other direction. Yes, and the honest users of these markets, people who are trying to deal with them honestly, get fleeced, get hammered. If supply-demand is the essential factor in the cost of these products, you can't explain oil being in 68 in July of 2007, 147 in July of 2008, 33 in December of 2008, and now up near 100 again. And when the debt ceiling downgrade crisis started, the price of oil dropped as the stock market dropped. As the stock market has recovered, oil has recovered. Price-demand fundamentals have nothing to do with this. It's the amount of wealthy investor, wealthy institution money that now dictates the price we pay for gasoline and our food.
I thank you for joining us, Michael Greenberger.
You're welcome.
Again, I've been speaking with Michael Greenberger, the former director of the Division of Trading and Markets at the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. Currently is the director of the Center for Health and Homeland Security at the University of Maryland, where he also teaches constitutional law and a seminar on futures options and derivatives at the University of Maryland School of Law. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the reassignment of the head of ATF.
Propagate your lie. What if barefoot dudes down in New Orleans looking like they're gonna die?